Well, I hope my voice will hold up as best I can today. We had our family gathering with the kids and grandkids yesterday, and so we had our little games in the front yard, as I like to play. We got to play a little bit of Cube. If you haven't played Cube, it's a fun game, and we got to play a little bit of Malky. If you haven't played that, that's a fun game, too. And then we played Moose Ball. Moose ball is a combination of softball, kickball, baseball. It's a plastic bat and a big rubber ball, so the little kids can hit the ball too, and everybody can catch without having a glove. Well, I played the role of umpire, so I wouldn't have to run around so much. So I was calling fouls and strikes and balls and people out, which is a blast when your son's getting called out because your wife's throwing the ball and getting him out or catching the ball. So I don't have much voice left, but I had a great time. And I chose not to run the bases and run after the ball so I'd be able to stand up and walk it off today. So take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. We're going to take just a little bit of break from our study in the book of 1 John and concentrate on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Title of the message today, Take a Look and Be Amazed. Take a look and be amazed. Right along with the first century disciples, right along with those that were following him, take a look and be amazed. Do you enjoy watching TV shows or going to a play or going to friends and watching at the movie theater? What genre of movie would be your preference? Do you enjoy a mystery? Some people like them and some people don't. Some people prefer other types of genres. Some people maybe you prefer a sitcom. I, for one, am not really big on sitcoms, especially the sitcoms of some of the titles where you kind of first minute or two when you already know where everything's going. Some people really enjoy this. Now, my comedy, I do like comedy. I still enjoy the Carol Burnett show, especially if it's got Harvey McCormick and Tim Conway working together. I mean, I could go. You ever watch the one with the dentist? Have I seen that one? Or he sticks his arm with anesthesia, and then he's still trying. Tim Conway's trying to do Harvey McCormick in the dentist chair. I just find that very funny. But I do enjoy mysteries. A lot of mysteries. I enjoy them. Now, there's a lot of famous, well-known mysteries. A lot of the mystery shows have been very popular over time. Matlock was one of my dad's favorites, the mystery of Matlock. A lot of fun. And then there's been so many other ones over the time. And then there's all of them that have been such a great enjoyment. My main point here is to say that I enjoy the suspense of the mystery more than watching the show that I think is going to be pretty obvious what's going to happen. Now, there's some similarities in mysteries and novels and shows to what the disciples of Jesus had in their time with him. There was all kinds of twists and turns as they watched the life of Jesus unfold before them. It looked like things were going really toward everybody following him. There came a period in Jesus' ministry where his popularity was growing because of the miracles he was doing, and people began to follow him. Then Jesus would say something like this, kind of, are you only following me so you have something to eat, so you get a miracle? And then some of the crowd faded away. Probably some of the disciples were thinking, why in the world would you say something that when we were getting a really big crowd and we're going to need a big crowd to overtake the Roman Empire, why would you chase people away? And so there's this twisting of turns in the plot as we see it unfolded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he would do some miracles, give some teachings, and then the people for a while would be very content. And the disciples. And then they heard him talk about going to Jerusalem where the leaders wanted to silence him, even put him to death. As Christ was praised in the streets of Jerusalem Then, just a little while later, he upset the people by making a mess of all their buying and selling in the courtyard. And so we thought, you know, everybody's praising him, and this is probably going to turn the heart of the leaders liking him. And then Jesus goes in and upsets the money changers in the temple, and they're upset with him again. It's a mystery, kind of, how this is all going to turn out. For especially the people that were there that day, and many of them were looking for someone to set them free from the Roman oppression that they felt they were under. Then there's excitement again. They are gathered in the upper room. Some people believe it's John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark's family's household, a large gathering place, an upper room, where they can have not only Jesus and the 12 disciples, but other friends too, to have a Passover and celebrate all the victory of them being set free from the Egyptian oppression after 400 years, and they're commemorating that. Going good. But the plot thickens and twists again. As Jesus said, one of you in the room is going to deny me, and one of you is going to betray me. Peter, you're going to deny me. And the one who dips in the cup with me is going to betray me. And soon later, Judas leaves. You see the ebb and the flow? What's going to take place? This brings us to the place where Jesus is then arrested, put in a trial. Not too many around that we have a recording of, except for Peter, who denies him. And then we have his trial and his crucifixion. Then we had the sadness of those who are without the one that they had learned to adore, that they were following, the one that were holding on to every word, and now he's gone. So much so that we don't even find any of the names of the disciples helping with the burial process, and only the ladies that were close and the friends of the ministry after he'd been in the tomb for a while now, and they went to finish the process. So stand if you're able as we look at Luke chapter 24 and the first 12 verses. Luke chapter 24, the resurrection of Jesus. And upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, that's why we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. Very early in the morning, Jewish folks accounted time as the day starting at 6 o'clock yesterday evening. In our calendar, we started at 12:01 a.m. last night, the new day. But for them, the day was already now 6 hours long, 12 hours long, early in the morning. And they came the first day of the week unto the sepulcher or tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, they were amazed. That's why I have entitled the message today, Look and Be Amazed. They were perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. We believe them to be angels. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said to them, Why seek you living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. They weren't going to anoint. They were just probably hiding out. They didn't know, were they going to be the next ones arrested and mock trialed and crucified? Verse 10, verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They were not full of faith. They were just in that state of uncertainty. Verse 12, And then arose Peter. Peter said, well, I'm not believing it, but I better go check it out. And then Peter rose and ran into the sepulcher, and stooping down, he held the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. What a mystery unfolding before their eyes. Father, thank you for the written word of God, that we have the written testimony of men and women who were there that day, who saw the empty tomb, who were there that day and heard the message from the heavenly messengers. He is risen. He's not here. Remember what he said. Father, we thank you that we have the testimony that these went on later and saw Jesus multiple times. They touched him. They ate with him. They worshiped with him. And Father, they have passed their testimony unto us that has never, ever been refuted by eyewitnesses. Some have come along and said that they don't believe it, and therefore it's not true. But Lord, that doesn't make it not true. So we thank you for the testimony that we can read and examine today and reaffirm in our hearts the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection, that it was for us. It was for us that we might have life and life eternal. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Dr. Luke is the writer here. Dr. Luke is known for giving a lot of details in his writing because he was occupational as a doctor. He was good with details. Many historians have looked at the book of Luke and say it's one of the greatest treatises of historical accuracy of what he gave in that day. There's been some have come along with speculation and say, well, there's things we can't believe because those cities can't be refound anywhere in the world and there's nothing about them. And then years later they'll come along and find something that's right there in the very book of Luke. So Dr. Luke gives us great details. He gives us an enormous amount of information in these little block of 12 verses that we've looked at today. I often think, as I said before, about the emotions of these disciples and other followers of Jesus at this time, at this junction in the Bible. Wow, what were they feeling? Celebration, defeat, celebration, uncertainty, all these things going on in their spirit and their mind. Some were even not there at this time to see these things. Some of them were maybe still hiding in the shadows, didn't want to really come out. Best that we know that for some reason Thomas was out of town and wouldn't see and hear about all this until some time later. While in the meantime, the ladies were trying their best to put the last bit of those helping and finishing touches on the burial process by going to the tomb and giving those remaining spices and ointments on his body on that early Sunday morning. They didn't use an embalming process. They used these spices and herbs and ointments to take down the odor of any decaying bodies. Because these tombs in this day and time could be opened again for other friends and family members to use the same tomb. Over the process of time, when the bodies would decay, they would gather up those bones and put them in small boxes and stack them off on the side and write the name of the person that was deceased. So there would be room to lay other bodies in the future. So all these things were going on. As I said earlier, I'm not much for watching a show that I have a good idea of how it's probably going to finalize. But we can see here that we really don't know, and they didn't know, how it is all going to finish because of what Jesus had in plan, what God had in store. It's the reason that our salvation is sometimes is called a mystery in the Bible. It's a mystery how God could do all this. He's revealed a certain amount of it to us, but we don't see all of it. And he's still doing great things to keep us amazed. Amen? It started with the death, burial, and resurrection. But the fact that the things that he does for us and does in our lives still amazes. It's how it all finishes. Because our salvation is relying upon what happens here. That a new way is going to be set forth. We never should grow tired of realizing what's happening. never grew tired of reviewing again and again of what's taking place. Let's review these defining events in these 12 verses. We're going to go through, not by normal format of an acrostic or different words that all start with the same letter as we go through this, but I want to just look at the drama kind of unfolding, the mystery of this is unfolding in this section here. And what we see a little bit, and just be wow, and just look in one more time into that empty tomb, and be amazed, and be in wonder, and be in awe. Let's look at the starting point. The starting point is found in verse number 1. And upon the first day of the week, the starting part, the women go on this difficult journey with these spices without these men. There's a lot of things that could be said about that. Number one, sometimes it was not safe for women to travel alone in that culture. And they were traveling, just the women. And it wasn't light. We don't know exactly how much that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already done. We don't know how much spices these women were carrying, but they were carrying it out because they loved the Lord Jesus. They loved him in his life, and now they loved him even in what they thought was still his death. And they were going there on a journey with heavy hearts. We weren't even told here if the men were invited. We weren't told if the men said, no, I think I'll just hang back. We don't know. We can read between the lines, but it would all be speculation. But we do know what the Bible tells us, that they went ahead and they were on that journey with an intention of finishing the burial process. And boy, would they be surprised that they didn't need to do it. They'd be able to use those spices for some other purpose in some other day. And then we see next a change in expectations. First of all, we saw the women on a difficult journey. Now we see a change in expectation. You see, it's like a mystery movie. When we think Matlock's got it all solved, then he finds something else, changed his everything. We find here in verse number 2 and 3, a change of expectations. When again it says there, verse 2 and 3, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Most likely, if they were going to do another burial, they would have had several men to help them roll a stone away from a tomb to bury someone else. But this tomb had been sealed by the Roman governor by the request of the religious leaders to try to prove that Jesus was in there and they had finished him off. And this tomb, they expected it to be closed and maybe get assistance from the gardener or someone else nearby to help them roll the stone away. But they found the stone rolled away in a change of expectations. They found it rolled away and they found that also there was nobody. None at all. Now remember, this was a tomb that had never been used before, and so they were only expecting to find one body, and it wasn't that tears had filled their eyes and they missed it. They knew what was going on. They were not just falsely thinking or tricked into thinking something. The good was they didn't need any help for the process of getting the stone away. That's the good news. But bad, possibly, was that the tomb that had been guarded and there had been some criminal activity taking place. People hated Jesus so much that maybe somebody couldn't just leave him in the tomb and now they stole his body to make our misery worse. That could be something they're thinking. I'm so glad that we have the Word of God to give us assurances, to give us proper direction, because that's what they're going to get here sometime later. They needed to find out what was going on. They were seeing a body missing. They were seeing a stone rolled away. How were they going to find out what really happened? Well, God steps in for them. Look at verse number 4 and 5. The Bible says, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. They were awestruck. They were confused. They were uncertain. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, why do you seek the living among the dead? This is similar to the experiences that other people had of seeing angels. I believe they knew immediately it was angels. Two angels appeared and asked them, Why are you looking for living where you usually live for the remains of the dead? Why are you doing that? Why are you looking here? If you ever have been a part of the building trades, it's about every one of the building trades has the old joke it plays on the rookie. You cut a wire too short, and the boss says, supervisor says, one of the veterans say, well, if you go out to the truck and you pull the seat forward and you look behind there, there's this tool, it's about this long, and it's a wire stretcher. Or you can go out for the plumber, it's the pipe stretcher. Or you can go out for the carpenter, and it's the board stretcher. And the guy, the rookie, goes out there, and he's looking for it, and he's looking for it, and he's getting frustrated, and he can't find it, and he's too embarrassed to go back and tell the boss that he hasn't been able to find it, at the boss did such a good job at describing it. And he goes back and says, I'm sorry, but I can't find it. Somebody must have lost it. And so send it back again. And, you know, however long the rookie will go along with the joke, and when he finally figures out, he can't wait till he is old enough on the job that he has to send a rookie to do the same thing. And so the angels are asking, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And the boss is probably asking, why are you looking for something like a board stretcher? There's no such thing as a board stretcher. Much more serious here. On the job, it's just for fun and games. But on this instance, the angels are asking this important question, because they want them to think about what Jesus had said before. Go away from all of your emotions of the moment and go back to the teachings of the Master that he gave you in Galilee. More information in the developing story is found in verse number 6. In verse number 6 we find, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The great reassurance, revelation from God, from these great messengers. The angel had been known to give awesome information throughout Jewish history. The angel had told Gideon, you are God's chosen man, you can do this. The angel was used by God to tell Daniel some amazing things about the future of Israel and the Gentiles in the book of Daniel. The angel was used to tell Mary that she was going to have a child out of natural order and that he was going to be the Messiah. The angel was used to tell others over and over again. And so when these ladies had to come to the understanding now that they are at an important moment in biblical history of God revealing more about the Savior through an angel. So it went from darkness and bleakness of death to rejoicing that they could be a part of the burial process, to uncertainty of a stone being rolled away and nobody there, to now jubilation. Hey, he is risen, he is alive, and the angels are telling you, you don't have to just put it all together yourself, but God wants you to know it in such an amazing way that he's given angels to tell you about it. Why not believe them? Why not believe the angels? Why not believe them like you had before and so many other servants of God had believed before? Who are you going to tell about? So the plot thickens a little bit more as we get to verse number 7 and 8. Verse number 7, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Boy, verse number 8, so great. Remembering his words. And a little side issue off the death, burial, and resurrection. We, in our lives, need the word of God in us. So when hard times come, we need to remember what God has said. And they remembered his words. And it brought peace. It brought joy. The message of the angels matches with the message that Jesus had been sharing with them for 3.5 years. The pieces of the mystery were starting to come together for the ones who saw the empty tomb and talked to the messengers. Is this the final scene of the play?
No way. It's not.
It's just moving to another great chapter. Another great chapter. No way. Things are going to get good from here on. They're going to get better and better. And the story continues. If this was put in a TV form, as it's been done many times, this is probably a great place for a TV commercial. Where you let up and you get to hear the angels. And the angels are told, hey, it's just like you said. And then you think the next thing's going to be shown, and now they're selling you Dr. Peppers or Coca-Cola or washing detergents or new GE range. Or a new car. Then the TV show. You ever feel like the TV shows go by so fast and the commercials will never end? Huh? And that's what they do. They want you hooked in. They got you hooked. And the Lord has these women hooked. Now we enter in some characters who've not been on the scene for a while. As the play was carrying out for a while before, they were there in the upper room. Some of them were there when Jesus was put on trial. Then they seemed to vanish. Then they seemed to hide. And then we're only finding about the women and these men, these disciples, these ones that had been with Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. They'd been with Jesus when he gave the Olivet Discourse and he told them about future events. They'd been with Jesus when miracles had taken place. But now when he was in the tomb, we don't find them. But thankfully, they enter the scene again as we get to verse number 9 and verse number 10. And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the leaven and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. I like how three different ladies are mentioned. Why? What does the Old Testament say? By the witness or two or three shall a matter be confirmed. Some people said, well, you know, women weren't very well trusted in those days. But these women were because they had been with Jesus. They had been with the disciples. They had supported his ministry. They were probably the ones while Jesus and the disciples were out ministering. They were back in the kitchen getting everything ready for them to come back after their ministry and feed them. And these were trustworthy, good women. And they told these men, the ones who had been given the inside track of information of these matters, now go and tell those what they had been told. They go and tell them that they are now believing, and they wanted them to believe in the resurrection also. Not so fast, though. We see the plot of the mystery take another twist. Verse number 11, something else is going to take place. These men had seen it. Miracles, these men had heard the message, but now they're hearing these women tell them, and they have to make a decision. Verse number 11 seems to go down a little bit again. Seems to be a little bit of negativity again. Verse number 11, and their words seemed to them as what? Idle tales, and they believed him not. I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that some of the things that these men had seen during the ministry of Jesus, that they were with Jesus, these women maybe had been home carrying out other duties and responsibilities, and when they came back and said, let me tell you what happened with Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus said today. And those ladies believed it and got excited about it and wanted to talk about it. And now when the matter was turned and these ladies are telling the men, how do the men respond? Well, I don't know. That seems like a pretty tall tale to me. Why? Because they were following their emotions of the moment. And not what Jesus had said. And we as Christians have to always be on guard that we don't let emotions be our main leader. We let the Word of God. Sometimes we run into folks nowadays and we'll say, well, the Bible says this, and they'll say, but I don't feel like that's right.
Which are we going to choose? What somebody feels like or what God has told us in his word? God had told them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified.
I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be trial. I'm going to be crucified. But don't worry, I'm going to be raised again. It's going to be okay. Peter said no. And Jesus said yes and go. And now Peter, guess what? He is risen like he said. That seems like a tale to me. Why? Later on, we have this wonderful verse that talks about us in the Bible. Blessed are those who believe but have never seen. Peter was going to be blessed because he was going to see it and believe. But the Bible says there's a great blessing on us who use the eyes of faith to look all the way back to the testimony of an empty tomb who have never seen it. We only see it by the eyes of faith. And God blesses us with that kind of faith and believe it. Let me ask you today, do you believe that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is an idle tale or a historical event that God planned and purposed and brought about so we could be saved?
It's a historical event. It was done for us. The crucified Lamb of God died and rose again that we might have everlasting life. Sad turn of events here. Verse number 11. I'm glad that verse number 11 is not the end of the Bible. I'm glad that verse number 11 doesn't close out our New Testament. Aren't you? Verse number 12. Go and see for yourself. Go and examine. Go and look. And that's what we have to do in our eyes of faith. Go to the tomb and look and see an empty tomb. See a victorious, risen Savior. Verse number 12. We find the Word of God says, and then arose Peter and ran. Don't miss that. And ran unto the sepulcher. And stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth. Another place in the Bible tells us the linen cloth was folded.
And someone folds
a cloth, oftentimes in that culture, when they were a guest in someone else's home, or guests in an inn, they would fold it up to be a sign. We just leave the bed. We get the maids to come up together. What they did, they folded it and placed it to signify, I'm not coming back, I'm finished with it. You can take it to the laundromat now. You can go wash it in the creek, the river, whatever means they had, the tubs. Jesus took the time to fold it because why? He didn't need the tomb anymore. He was never going to need a tomb again. He was finished the work of crucifixion on the cross. He was finished the work of resurrection at the tomb, and he laid it, and Peter looked at that, and this began to move him from verse 11, from not sure, uncertainty, lack of faith, to faith, and he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, wondering to himself at that which had come to pass. He's moving out of doubt into faith. And his faith will be confirmed later when Jesus comes. After walking down to the road of Emmaus and talking to disciples, then he appears with the disciples, and they think they've seen a ghost, and then he appears and says, let me eat with you, and they begin to believe. And later, Thomas would look at his hands and his feet, and Thomas would believe, and it would reconfirm with the others the reason for believing. After his denial, perhaps he needed the most good news and the favorable change of any of the disciples. Could you imagine what those hours of emotion for Peter were like? Last time, talking with Jesus. I won't do that. To hours later, doing that three times. And looking across and seeing Jesus on trial. Maybe be at the cross or maybe off in the distance of the cross. But now, he's changed. Later on, Jesus would restore Peter fully at the seaside. And said, Jesus would ask him, do you love me?
Jesus, you know I love you. Jesus would ask again, do you love me? A third time he'd ask, do you love me? To remind him of the three denials and the three restorations. He was restored from it all. We need to look into the empty tomb. And each one of us decide, will I just go away in wonderment like Peter did? Or will I go away with full faith? The mystery of it all continues after these verses. It continues even down to our day today. We're part of the chapters that are still being written of Jesus Christ being raised again. Oh, it continued in those days. It continued on that road to Emmaus. It continued on that room with the ten. It continued in that room with Thomas. It continued on the seashore side as they ate food together. The chapters continued to be written of the ascension where Jesus went out. And before he went out back into heaven to be with the Father, to go at the right hand and intercede for us, he told them, go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and go and be a part of the chapters. And somebody did that. And somebody else did that. And then it came down, and maybe you were in Sunday school, maybe you were in church, maybe you were somewhere else, maybe you were riding in a car, and somebody told you the message of the resurrected Christ. And we get to be a part of the great mystery of Christ. And the chapters are still being written in our lives. Maybe not written in the Bible that people read physically.
Someone has said this years ago, and you probably heard it. You might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. Is your life different because of an empty tomb? Is your life different because of crucified Christ on the cross? Or is your life different because you looked into the tomb by eyes of faith and said to others, come, come and see what I've seen. I see Christ who's won victory for me and has offered me and given me everlasting life, and I want you to have it too, because he defeated hell, death, and the grave, and he offers to us the wonderful message of victory. Take a look once again into the empty tomb and be amazed.
Take a look every day into the empty tomb and say, that was done for me. Take a look into the empty tomb every day and say, that was done for whosoever will. That was done for others. I can help them. Look at the empty tomb. Jesus did it for us. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin and death. Time of invitation for just one hymn of invitation for a few moments. If you need to respond to this today before we celebrate the culmination of Passover, what we call the Lord's table, the Last Supper of Jesus, instituting the new covenant. So today, God's putting your heart, you need to respond. Maybe it's for salvation, rededication, maybe it's for another need. You just need time of prayer at the altar. You want someone to pray with you. Our time of invitation is open now during this hymn. Good number four.